Begin the current daf Masechtas Bechayis daf Chav Tes. Begin on the bottom line of Chav Ches Mabez, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding an inappropriate authorization of permissibility regarding the Bechayir, which is only permitted Bizman Hazeh. When there is a blemish, then it's a permanent blemish, and it's certified and authorized by a mumcha, by a judge, then it becomes permitted. That our Mishnah continues on that theme. If someone takes payment to see the firstborn, to ascertain and to verify if it has a mum kavu or not, you cannot slaughter the animal based on his word that he's saying that, oh, it's a mum kavu, and therefore you could go ahead and use it, because we're concerned that maybe he's going to be saying something, he's permitting it because of payment. There's an element of finances over here, and therefore it has to be done for free. Elam kein hoya mumcha, unless if he was a professional, as we continue to bechov tesmanav, kayala, who he lived biyavne, who he was a pious individual, he's not suspect that he's going to be bribed by the money element. Where shehetiru loy chachamim liyas neitel, that there the sages permit him to take payment, which were arbi isaris lebehemadaka, for smaller livestock, smaller animals, he took 4 coins, 4 isaris, vishish lagasa, and 6 for the large animals. And this was bane, whether he told them that it's going to be a tam, or bane ba mumma, whether he told them that it's a blemish, that it's a permanent blemish. Either way, he would always take the payment that he always charged, no matter if he was permitting it for them, or saying that it's not permitted because it's still considered unblemished. Now, the Gemara wonders, my time, why was there a different pricing for smaller animals, 4 isarim, and for larger animals, 6? Says Gemara, hi, the larger animals, nafesh tirche. It was more of an effort for him to throw it down to the ground, to tie it down, to go ahead, to be able to inspect, to see if it's a permanent blemish, whereas v'haylo nafesh tirche. The smaller animals is not so difficult, and therefore, according to the amount of effort, that's how much he would charge for inspecting it to see if it was a mum kavu or not. Now, the Mishnah said that he would charge his price, bein tam or bein bamum, whether he verified that it's not blemished, and therefore cannot be used yet, or whether if he said that it is blemished. So the Gemara wonders. Bishlam b'bamum, we understand if he says that it's a blemished animal, so we know why he's charging. Mishum de kashari lay, he provided a service because now he's permitting for them to use it. But elatam, but if he says that it's just a passing blemish, it's not considered a mum kavu, it's still considered unblemished. Samai, why is he taking payment? He didn't benefit them anything because he's actually saying that it's forbidden for them to use. Says the Gemara, yeah, but dim came, but if it would be the case that then he wouldn't take payment, then asur lemichshate. Then, when he would say that it's considered blemished, they would suspect him. Vami, they're going to say, ah, hai ba mum tamhu. This animal that he's saying is blemished, really it's unblemished. Vahai de koshari le mishamagra. Why is he permitting it? Because he wants to get paid. He only gets paid when he says it's blemished. So therefore, to avoid that problem, they said he always takes payment no matter what the situation is. But that is the Gemara asked, but yachi, if that's the case, well then tam nami. Even when he says that it's unblemished, Amri Balmumhu, they're gonna say, no, really it's blemished. V'hai delika sharile, they're gonna suspect him. They're gonna say, oh, you know why he's not permitting it? It's because Savr kihicha delishkul agri zim nachriti. He thinks, hey, let me get 2 times on this person. I'll tell him that it's not blemished. He'll go away. He'll come back another time, he'll pay me a second time, and then I'll say, oh, it's blemished. And therefore they'll suspect him when he says that it's unblemished. Says the Gemara, no, because chad zimna tekinili rabbanan. Only 1 time per animal did the rabbis institute that he could charge for the inspection. 2 times the rabbanan did not institute him. And therefore, when he says that it's unblemished, when he would take his payment, when he would come back again another time, he wouldn't be taking anything. Therefore, there's no suspicion for him to say, from when he's saying that's unblemished, as if, oh, because he wants to charge the other follow-up times. He doesn't get to charge follow-up visits. And therefore, that's why it's not a problem. And again, that's why we said that he does charge when he says it's tam, because or else they would suspect him when he says balmum, that it's for financial reasons, and therefore he would always charge his price no matter what. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme regarding someone who takes payment. So in the previous Mishnah we spoke about for inspecting the Bechir, if it has a mum kavua. Here the Mishnah continues, Hanitl schari ladun. If someone takes payment to judge a court case, dina betalim, so then his judgments are nullified. Lahayid, if he charges to say testimony, a daisa betalim, his testimony is invalid. Lahazis, if he charges to spray the paraduma waters, which are these, which has to do also Ula Kaddish, or another one of these processes is by mixing the ashes of the burnt paraduma together with the live waters into a vessel. So here also, these things are things that a person should not be charging for, and Nifra Meimav Meimara, his water is called cave water. Afara Efer Mikli, his ashes of the Paraduma is considered the some random ashes from an oven, meaning to say that it's not appropriate to be done, and therefore what he has done is not valid, because one's not allowed to charge to fulfill these mitzvahs. However, if that person, as in the previous Mishnah, who's checking out the firstborn, or like we started in our Mishnah, the judge, or the witness, or the one who's spraying, or mixing the ashes with the water, Hayukayin, he was a Kayin, and this one who needed his services was taken with him through a place that there's Tumah, because there was no other way to get there, and now the Kayin is becoming Tameh, so Mitamehu Mitrumasai. He's now making him tummy from being able to eat his own truma, because a kohen that's tummy cannot eat truma, so he's causing him a loss. Because now he has to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, and he's going to have to purchase chulin to be able to eat that. Now the problem is chulin is more expensive than truma, because chulin has a larger market that it's for able for everyone to eat, whereas truma has a limited market, it's only for kahanim, because a tzar, a non-kohen, can't eat it. So therefore, in that type of situation, says the Mishnah, then machiler. Then this one who took him through because he needed his services for these mitzvahs, when you're not allowed to charge, but he made him now become tamei, he can't eat truma, so then he has to feed him umashke v'sachin, and has to give him to drink and give him to anoint, and that's not a violation of this law of charging for doing this mitzvahs. Moreover, v'mhoyezakin, if he was elderly, so makiva al-chamar, he has to give him a ride on a donkey, v'noisin le'schar kapayel, and he also gives him his payment like a worker. And the Gemara is going to explain what this means to say is, whatever it is that he's losing, then he could give him. Not a charge for the services, but if he would have had money coming somewhere else and now he can't do them because he's going to provide these services, then regarding the losses, for that he could compensate him for. Now the Gemara says, but not immediately, where do we know the opening halacha of our Mishnah, that you can't take payment for teaching law or for teaching Torah, which is coming to teach. So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, he says, because Amar Kra, the pasuk said in the Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, "Hey, see, lamadti eschem ugeimer. I have taught you," as the pasuk there continues, "chukum mishpatim, like Hashem, my God, commanded me to do like this." What we see is there's a comparison. Moshe Rabbeinu is comparing his learning from Hashem to the Jewish people learning from him, and he was saying, "Mani bechinim, just like I learned from Hashem for free, Hashem didn't charge. Afatim bechinim. So too, you also have to learn for free." Meaning to say that their teacher cannot charge his students for teaching Torah. Tana Malach is similar in the Braisa, Kashid Tzivani Hashem Likoy, like Hashem, my God, commanded me, which is Ma'ani Bechinim, just like I'm free, Afatim Bechinim, so too you're free, meaning in regards to the learning of Torah, one cannot charge. Now, says the Braisa, but Menayin Shem Leimatza Bechinim, but how do we know that if a person cannot find a teacher to teach him for free, She Yelmat Beschad, that he should learn by pay, he should pay someone to teach him Torah, Tamar Lema, that's the Pasuk teaches the Mishlei, Emes Kenei, the truth you should buy, which truth is Torah, and therefore we see that one should go ahead and if he needs to, buy it. Now, and how do we know that a person shouldn't say, okay, just like I learned it by having to pay, now when I'm going to teach others, I will also charge. That's what the Pasuk says, emes kenei, purchase truth, va'al timker, and don't sell it. And if you're going to go ahead and follow up and teach Torah to others, don't go ahead and charge for that. Now the Mishnah then continued, it said, also additionally, if someone takes payment, lahazas or lakadish, to spray the paraduma waters or to go ahead and mix them together beforehand, so then that's an appropriate charge. And meim of meim ma'ara, his water is like cave water, meaning insignificant. Afar efer mikle, his ashes is like ashes from the oven. It's not halachically appropriate. Now, verminu, however, they ask the contradiction of Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin. The Mishnah says, hamakadish, if someone goes and engages, betroths a woman, b'mechatas, b'efrachatas, with the waters of the paraduma or with the ashes of the paraduma, harizim mekadeshes, she's engaged. So obviously you see that a person could charge for these elements, which is the paraduma ashes and the waters, because if not, so what's he giving her? A woman's only engaged when he gives something of value to her. Now, if you can't charge for these services, he's not giving her anything. Obviously, it's considered something that one could charge for, and this is Afa Pishu Yisrael, even if he's a non-Kohen, because generally Kahanim are the ones who do Azah, they do the spraying, and they do the mixing, the Kiddush, but we see that it has a value. So that contradicts the Halacha of our Mishnah, it says it has no value, can't charge. So Mabaya says, like Kash, it's not difficulty. Khan, over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin, we're talking about Beschar Hava. There are ancillary elements that could be charged for. The payment for bringing the ashes from far away to Yerushalayim, where that transportation, or emilui, the drawing of the water, for that he could take, because that's just charging for the effort invested, but that's not considered part of the performance of the mitzvah itself. that you could charge him. And that's what he's giving to the woman, who she now could go ahead and use that value in giving it over to those who need it for the paraduma. Kan b'schah hazav v'kiddush. However, in our Mishnah, we're talking about the charging for the actual spraying or the mixing. That's what's called heksha mitzvah. That's the preparatory in the mitzvah itself that you can't take for. It says the Gemara, Dekanami. A precise reading indicates this because the Ketani Halacha in our Mishnah, we said, what are the cases? Lahazus ulekadish. Those are explicitly the cases of the mitzvah itself, to spray them or to mix them. Vahasim Ketani, there it just says, Hamakdish b'meichatas. If someone engages a woman with the waters of the paradumo, which sounds like the drawing of the water, it's talking about just the water, ube'efer chatas, or the ashes of the chatas, where that you could explain which is bringing the ashes, and that those things are, yes, those are permitted, and therefore that he could use to engage the woman, shmamina, that's exactly like Abai had answered. The Mishnah continued, however, although we said you're not allowed to charge, but imhoyu kain, but let's say he was a kain, and if he took him through a tummy place to go ahead and perform these services for him, although he's not allowed to charge for those mitzvah services, but now he's at a loss because he's going to have to expend more for his food, so then mechulu etc., then the person could feed him and give him to drink, and it's not considered a violation of this law. Now the Gemara wonders, okay, fine, but iu gufa hecha azal. But how did the kain himself allow himself to walk through that area? He's violating the pasuk in Mirka Chaval lenefesh leyitama. He's not allowed to make himself tummy by going over an area of a grave where he's passing through. So how's he allowed to do it in the first place? Says the Gemara, lebesa pras derabanan. We're talking about where he went to the area of called the pras, which is from means the piece of a piece, which is that of a bone, which is only rabbinic. Which is actually, he's not prescriptive, he's not forbidden to go in that area. The Amr of Yehuda Merav, like he said, Menapech of the Beis HaPras, a person could blow the area of the Beis HaPras and he could walk through. Because halacha is that a bone from a dead person the size of a barley corn contaminates by touching or by carrying, but not if it's in the same oil in the same area. Now, and this person's walking through this area of the Beis HaPras where there could be bones of a dead person, if he blows, as he's walking, he's moving the bones that are in front of him where he's not going to end up touching it. So therefore, he's not going to end up becoming tummy. Now, the truth is, so if he's not becoming tummy, so what's this that we're saying that, but he can't eat, okay, so he's not violating the law, he's allowed to go there, he's not becoming tummy, so then what are we saying that he can't eat truma? So the thing is the Gemara says in the Chagiga Daf Chafeim Abayz, he still cannot eat truma. And the reason for that is, like the Gemara says over there, because this thing that we said that you could check, which it means to say, as the Gemara there explains, that you could blow the area of this place of where there might be bones of a dead person as you're walking, that's only valid for those who are doing Karban Pesach. And then we assume that he's still going to be tar. But to eat Shuma, then we don't allow it. So though he's not violating the Isser, but we still consider him as rabbinically as Tameh, and therefore he's not going to be able to eat his Shuma, and therefore the person could compensate him. That's one interpretation. As a continuum in Beis, Rabbi Huda Bar Ami Mishmed Rabbi Huda Amar, he says a similar type of an answer. Beis HaPras Shenidish. We're talking about a Beis HaPras, which was trampled, where many people had already walked there much with their feet. Tahar, there we consider the area as pure, at least in regards to not being prohibited of walking through that area, although, like we said, but yet for Truma, you're still not allowed to eat it. Because it's not possible, really, that there should be a bone the size of a barley corn that wasn't already trampled by the people's feet. It was already turned and pulverized. You're not going to have an etzem kasar to become tummy. Now, the reason is, like we said, because the whole Beis HaPras, the only doubt is that it's problematic is because it might have the size of a bone of a barley corn. Because, like we said, a Beis HaPras is really a field which had a grave, which was plowed over, and now the bones are spread out all over the place. So you're concerned that it's the size of a barley corn, but if people trample the area already, we're not concerned that, therefore, again, initially, he does not have the Isser, but after the fact, he cannot eat Truma, and therefore the person could go ahead and pay him for that extra amount that he has to pay for Chulun now. Or Inami, a third approach, is actually we're talking about Bashar Tumas. We're not even talking about a grave. We're talking about other Tumas that this Kohen became Tumme on his way to go and do these services. For example, a Nevela, a dead animal, or a Sheretz, a dead, one of the dead eight vermin. Where Delay Mizrali, where there actually he's not forewarned about touching these things to become a tummy. It's only regarding Tumas Mess. That was where the Isser would be. That's not even how he became tummy. There's other things there, but there's no Isser. And again, therefore, that's what the Mishnah said, that he could be compensated for now the additional money has to be a vachum. Mishnah concluded, Mo Yizakin, if he's an elderly person who's going to provide these services, Markiva al Khamar, he rides him on a donkey, etc., which the Mishnah then concluded, and he could also pay him like a worker. Now, Tanya Linda Bryce, what does it mean like a worker? It means kapayel batel. It means a worker who's not doing his regular work, which Amabai, he qualifies as, and he says, kapayel batel sh'oise malacha. Means like a worker who's not working from exactly the work that he would normally be doing. And that he's not doing, that's how we go ahead and we could compensate him. Meaning to say, if let's say he was someone who would make holes in pearls, which is a high-paying job, and it's a very easy job to do for those who are proficient in it. So if he tells him, look, do me a favor, I need someone to spray the paraduma ashes on me. Stop, don't work today and do that service for me. Now, he gets a lot of money per day. He's going to get something very close to that, a little bit less, because his job actually is very easy. It doesn't have so much of an effort. Now, okay, it's a little bit easier what he's doing, so he won't charge the full price. But if let's say he had a very difficult job like a carpenter, and he tells him, look, you know what, usually take 3 zuz per day. Here, take 1 zuz, and today don't go into work and do this easy thing I need for you to just to spray ash, these ash waters on me. So he would like that. You know, day off, pretty hard work to take a zuz. So therefore, that's what Abaye says, and the Brayis is qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah. We said when you're going to give him payment because he's not doing his work today, you're not going to give him the whole amount how much he gets because he's not doing that hard work today. How much would you pay a guy to not do the work that he's doing but still get money? So let's say a carpenter normally gets 3, he'll take 1 today. Again, but someone who does pearls, where generally he takes a large amount of money, it's not worth him to take off. Okay, a little bit, take off. But it's going to be commensurate to the amount that a person would want to take a day off from the job that he usually does. That's not a problem about taking payment. That's just compensation for the loss of the job that he would normally do, and that's permitted to be done. Next Mishnah continues with a related type of idea regarding suspicion. Hachashad ala b'chayres. Someone suspect regarding the laws of the firstborn. For example, let's say he suspect that he makes blemishes in the firstborn, which is forbidden to be done. He does it so that now he could use it because a blemished firstborn could be utilized. So someone that suspect with the laws of the firstborn, say in loichim, you're not allowed to purchase from him the animals, and even basar tzavim, even if it's the meat of deer, which doesn't apply to the laws of the firstborn, which is only by shur and the seh, but still you're not allowed to even purchase that from him. And v'lo irishay navudim, neither can you purchase from him the hides, which the skins of the animal, which weren't tanned yet, which again could be from that b'char animal, and he suspect regarding that, and therefore you can't buy from him. Now, Eliezer, he says, lichim imena irishal nekev, but you could purchase from him the skins of the animal, which is female, which doesn't have the halacha b'char, because that's only by the male animals. And, however, v'ein lichim imena tzemim alubin v'tzoy, but you can't purchase from him wool, which was whitened, I mean cleaned out, and the ones that are filthy. But you could purchase from him if the wool was spun and if it was already a garment. Now, the Gemara explains the halach of our Mishnah. We said that you can't purchase from him basat tzavayim, deer meat. Why? Because deer meat is red. And demichlef b'da'agala, and it could get confused with the meat of a calf, where sometimes he's going to be selling him a calf that's an unblemished firstborn animal, which this guy suspects regarding the laws of the firstborn, and he's going to say, oh, it's deer meat, because they look similar, because they're both reddish-pinkish. And therefore, you can't buy even deer meat, because it might be really b'chayr meat, which he suspect with and forbidden to have utilized. Now, the Mishnah continued, b'lo irishein navudim. And notice you can't buy from him the hides, which weren't tanned yet, which is the process of working out the skins, turning it into leather. Now, the inference is, ha'avudim zavnina, but if it was tanned already, you're allowed to buy from him. Why? Because imi, said the b'chayr, if it would be true that this is the skin of a b'chayr animal, which is forbidden because he went and he did something forbidden with it, lo have a tarach, but he would not have gone through the effort to go ahead and tan it. Why? Because Sava, he thinks, ishama b'rabban, and if the rabbis are going to hear that really this animal that I'm using is really an unblemished firstborn animal, and then they're going to make me have to go ahead and bury it because it was done in an inappropriate way. So mifs d'liminei. So then it's going to be a big loss of me, all the amount of money and effort I put into go ahead and tanning these skins, and therefore he's concerned about his effort. He's not going to go ahead and tan it if it really is going to be from a b'char, and therefore if he did, then one can assume that it was really not a b'char, and therefore one could purchase from it. Now the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yazalim, he says, Leichim imeno oirish on the keva. You could purchase from him the hides of a female animal because there is no suspicion regarding the laws of Bechar, because that's only by male animals. So my time, what's the reason? Because made the idea. One could tell between the difference between the skin of a male animal and that of a female animal, because their anatomy is different. So therefore you could know that it's not a problem. But Vatana Kamo, why didn't he say that? Sounds like they're disagreeing. He says, "Im came because if we permitted the Oir of the Keva, then Zachar na mechaik lezachruse, because you know what he's going to do? He's going to take the skin of a male animal, which might be from Bechar Tam, and he's going to cut out the area of its genital area, and he's going to make it look like it's that of a female. And when they're going to ask him, hey, why is it cut around the area of that area of where it was obviously a male? V'amar, achpar machlo, he's going to say, oh, the mice ate it up, and therefore that's why it's missing. But v'idach, however, Rabbi Eliezer held that no, Be'achbar made the idea. It's recognizable when mice had eaten it up. And therefore, we're not concerned for him trying to pass off a male skin for a female, and therefore if it's female skin, one could go ahead and use it. Now the Mishnah continued and said, you cannot purchase from him the wool that was whitened or that was filthy, where if it wasn't cleaned out from its, made white from its filth. Now the Gemara wonders, if the wool was already whitened, where you could say that maybe he wouldn't want to cause a loss of his effort and money, and he would not have whitened it, because the rabbis are going to hear it and cause him a loss for the effort he went to whiten out the wool. And even so, the Mishnah is telling us that it's not such a great effort, and therefore he's not particular, and therefore maybe we still have to suspect him. And therefore the Mishnah said, Lo yizamnina, you can't buy it from him. So when it's filthy, of course, do we have to entertain that you can't buy it from him? They put in no effort, of course you wouldn't be able to buy it from him. Maybe it's really from that of a bechor. Ela rather says the Gemara, you're right, chadigatani. It's actually one case. Tzemem melubin mitzay asay. Wool that was whitened out of its filth, that even over there one cannot go ahead and buy from him. But of course, if it's filthy, for sure, because maybe he's just trying to pass it off, and it's really from a bechor that was tam. And then the Mishnah said, avalechim emenu tviyo begodim. But you could purchase from him if it was spun wool and if it was turned into garments. Because like we said before, the logic is if it was from a bechor, he would not have put in the effort because he's concerned that maybe he's going to have a loss because the rabbis are going to discover him. And therefore, if he went through that effort, obviously, we could assume it's not from a bechor. Now, that the Gemara wonders, these two halachas. Hashta tvizam ninan, if it's spun, you could buy from him some begodim ibaya. So do you have to say that you could buy from him a garment? And the moment that it's spun, which is turning into threads before you make it into a garment, already then was permitted. Why do you have to say about a garment? Says the Gemara, my begodim, what does it mean? Garments means namti, it means felt. Felt is not spun wool. It's just pressed together. Therefore, we have to say, because you don't have the element of tvi, so therefore we have to say that that type of garments also, since he put an effort, it's already permitted, and we don't have to assume that it's that of a bechor tam. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing this theme about hachashid. If someone is suspect, in this Mishnah, it talks about ala shviyas, regarding the laws of the Shemitah year, either to plant or to do business with the aftergrowth that grow in the Shemitah year, which are forbidden to be done. So here too, in loichim emen epishtan, we don't buy from him flax. Again, we have to be concerned that he's utilizing Shemitah produce, and that's forbidden. The philosarik, and even if it was crushed and it was fixed by being combed, that's still not so much of an effort, and therefore you still have to suspect he's trying to pass on Shemitah produce. But, however, if the flax is already spun and woven, turned into linen, so then, again, like we said, if he put in so much effort, we could assume that it's not from the Shemitah produce because he would not have wanted to put in that energy and then found that and then have that loss. So the Gemara wonders here too. Hashta tviz of nina. And if we say you could purchase from him when it was spun, so arig mi baya, do we have to say regarding when it's woven? It was already spun beforehand, and already that moment it was permitted. Then after it's spun, then it's woven. So the Gemara, no, my arig, what does it mean woven? It means tiche. It means when they're chained together. Meaning to say that you actually make from flax chains, and that's how you weave the garment without actually spinning it into threads. And therefore, you would not have known it from tvi, and therefore it says tvi and arig. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme, hachashid, if someone is suspect, liyas meichid truma l'shem chulin, that he passes, where he has truma, which has a limited market, and he passes it off as if it's chulin. So, ein loichim emen afil amayim melech, you don't even buy from him even water or salt, because as a penalty, obviously, water and salt is not even a suspicion of truma, but still, since he's selling inappropriate things, you don't buy from him anything. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon, he says, no, kol sheyesh bezikas truma maisis, anything that has something that would have an element of truma or maisis from it, then ain leichem mena, then you don't buy from him. Something like water and salt, there's no problem buying from him. Something that has any relationship with truma and maisis, yeah, those things you wouldn't buy from him. Says the Gemara, going on this last halacha, what's that including? Something that has a zika, a relationship with Truma and Maisis. That's Lasui Kirva Dagam. He's coming to include the fish intestines. The Ma'arvi Behu Shem and Zayis, where fish intestines are not something that is Truma and Maisis. But when they would sell the fish intestines, they would mix in olive oil. Now, since there's something that has a relationship with Truma, because olive oil is something that you give Truma and Maisis on, so therefore, even the fish intestines, you can't buy from him because it has that Shem and Zayis mixed into it. Now, the Gemara brings a related story to this. Machlaikis, Hu Tavacha, there was this butcher, Tavachashid Lizvuni, that he would suspect in selling as a Katin Tab of Lamar Manalov, Tarba de Atma, that he would sell the fats of the kidneys, which is on the thighs, which is forbidden, Bemar de Kanta, in exchange, where he was claiming that it was this kosher fats, which is called Kanta, which is the entrails, which is by the rear of the animal. So Kansei Rava Lizvuni Afilam Guzi. So since he was suspecting selling these forbidden things, so Rava penalized that one's not allowed to even buy nuts from him. Now Amalei Rapapa the Rava. So Rapapa said the Rava, come on, who are you going like? If you're saying Kirab Yehuda, so you're making forbidden even things that he didn't, that's not related to not kosher fats, to nuts. If you're going like Rabbi Yehuda, so Ikrab Yehuda Afilam Melech Nami. So why saying nuts? He holds even water and salt can all buy from him. Why saying nuts? So says Gimel Lo'ilim Reb Shimon. Truthfully, he holds like Reb Shimon, that he holds the only penalized things that are related to the thing that's prohibited itself. Now, Ubi Surah, and the Girsa takes out the Dalad, Gufei, and here the prohibited thing itself, what he had done wrong, has to do with the nuts. That's conceivably, that's why he penalized him from selling nuts too. Why? Because Stam Dardiki Garibam Guzi. Generally, little children, they get drawn after and they get enticed by nuts. Now, this butcher, what he did was, he fooled and he misled the sons of the butchers. He enticed them and he hired these sons of the butchers with nuts. They brought him these problematic fats from their fathers who were butchers, which they stole from their fathers because the fathers didn't eat it. It was not kosher. And that he used to sell in exchange as if they were kosher fats. So since it was part of the thing that he had done prohibitedly, therefore he included that in the penalty. But you're right, anything else, he didn't penalize him. Only things related to the thing that was prohibited, that's why he penalized him even for selling the nuts, because that was actually used in his ruse for going ahead and selling these non-kosher fats under the guise that it was the kosher fats of the kanta, but really there was tarbat atma.